No, I'm telling you, me and God came a long way. So I'm just happy that me and him is on the same page. You know, I made a promise to him, and I'll share it with you and your audience. I made a promise to him because I was at the time, I was just at my lowest. Like, I had a really bad deal that went sour, and nothing was just clicking for me. Like, I was just like, come on, God, you might as well just take me out, because what's the point of me being on earth? You know, that's when I started realizing everything. And I just told him, like, you know, I am willing to give up some things if you could just make things happen for me. You know, even though I had the faith the size of a mustard seed, I just need you to show me so I can just believe. And when I tell you I made that deal with him and everything I have always wanted came true, it was like, wow.
My name is Fauna Asfa, and after doing the back-breaking work to save and reclaim my own life, my passion now is to help others do the same. Since writing my debut book, Sober Daughter, the amount of people that wanted more inspired me to create this podcast. This space is for both real people and industry professionals to share inspiring experiences and usable tools for us all to connect and heal ourselves together. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing self-love and self-healing with Ebony, the professional homegirl. And always remember to stay tuned to the end for some hot tips to take with you. Our guest today, Ebony, aka the professional homegirl, is a dynamic entrepreneur whose mission calls her to create her own platform that celebrates and empowers stories of women of color. Ebony is also a survivor who's overcome personal challenges and shares her experience to inspire others to achieve their dreams.
Hey! That was so good.
How are you?
I'm good. All is cute. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so good. I'm so happy to have you here. I've been such a fan of your work, and, you know, we've done a little bit together, and I really just wanted to dig in a little bit more with you because it's like you enticed it and then I just want more.
Right.
You know, it's like, as you know, I've just been so obsessed with the healing process and how that looks and identifies for different people. And for me, that started with sobriety and like so much inner work. And I wanted to know what led you and started you on your own healing journey. What was that little catalyst for you when you knew some things needed to shift?
I think the catalyst for me was when my Nana transitioned. That was my first time ever experiencing someone that passed away and someone that was so close to me. So I think that once she passed away, like, I went downhill. And at this time, I mean, it's been almost, I think it's been 7 years now. And during this time, you know, mental health or therapy wasn't as trendy or popular as it is now. So when I started, I just knew that something wasn't right because at the time I didn't have the language, but I was experiencing, you know, panic attacks, anxiety attacks. You know, it was, I used to have thoughts where I didn't want to be here anymore. Cause I just thought, like, I just couldn't believe that the one person who I knew that loved me unconditional was no longer here. And I just couldn't understand it. Like, I just couldn't see how you can be here one day and go on the next. Yeah. So, you know, I thought I was telling somebody this and I was just crying and I was just a mess. And I don't know who recommended this to me. Oh, you know what it was? I went to an event and I saw this lady and she was a therapist. And that was the second time that I spoke to a therapist because the first time it just didn't work out. And I always tell people, like, therapy is like trying on a bra. You just got to keep trying till it fits. And so, but the second lady, you know, she looked just like me. And she was able to, like, speak like me. And I think that was very important because, you know, when you come from certain neighborhoods and you go through certain traumas, like, it's some, for me, it's best to have somebody look like me that can understand the root of a lot of things that happens to us. So I end up going to her and I've been going to her ever since. I don't go to her as much as I used to because I feel like I use the tools and resources she gave me. But going to therapy has really helped me with a lot of things.
Absolutely. I mean, therapy for me too, you know, changed the game, changed my life. And, you know, to experience the passing of your Nana and her being such a core person for you, I just related to that so deep because when my mom passed, it was like, I didn't know who I was anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't know, like, who am I in this world? Like, how do I anchor in? Like, nothing made sense.
Yeah, she was my safety blanket. So
And that's
I just did not
so
understand. Yeah, I just didn't understand why would God take someone like that from me.
hard. And then that can turn into a whole deep, dark place, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
What did it look like for you when, you didn't really know yet how you were gonna turn around? Was it really dark and was it a lonely place? Because for me, that grief without having the support felt like I was drowning, like I just couldn't understand.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like with grief, because I feel like, and I'm pretty sure you feel the same way from losing your parents, but I don't think it gets easier. I just think that you just learn how to deal with it because of time. And I feel like during that time, like on top of me grieving and not even knowing what grief looked like, I was also showing face and just trying to survive. So, I think that like on top of me just grinding, just hustling, just like working nonstop, telling people I'm okay, all these other things, like I was literally like on the brink. Like I feel like I was a little the thinnest thread you can think of at any moment, it can just snap. So I think that once I continued to start having more of those feelings and I felt like I literally just could not breathe, I needed to go get some support.
Yeah, you finally hit that bottom, as they say, of,
Yeah.
the mask off, like it's just not working anymore.
Yeah, like my hair was falling out. My face broke out. Like I had like really bad acne. Like I look crazy. If I was to see a grandma or an older lady who I thought or assumed was a grandma with her kids, I would just lose it. Like I had a really difficult time processing the fact that my grandmother was no longer here.
I mean, I get it. I so get it. And people, we don't talk about that grief is the physical manifestation too. And that comes out in our body and how, we're not able to take care of ourselves anymore. And we just turn into different versions and it's all trying to be expressed. So I'm so grateful that you found somebody that you connected with that looked like you. Because representation is so important.
No, I love my therapist, Dina. Dina has been such a breath of fresh air. She has definitely given me perspective. She has given me hope. She has played a part in restoring my faith. Like, I am just so thankful for Dina. Like, Dina, I tell her all the time, like, and we have grown past like a therapist and a client. Like, I look at Dina as like my older sister. Like, because I always tell people, like, you want to be the woman to others that you need a woman to be to you in tough times. And Dina has been all that times 10. So I'm so thankful for
Oh, so good. So good.
her.
Yeah, that's how I feel about mine too. I'm just like, they show the examples that we need to see when they're not around us. And so how did that translate for you into getting to loving yourself again and putting back in your self-care? Because the woman I know today is not that woman. So there's a lot of self-love that had to be going on.
So I would say, one of the things I learned in therapy was a lot of the things that I was experiencing in my adulthood stemmed from my childhood. And I had a very challenging childhood and I had to grow up really fast. So, on top of losing my grandmother, there was an incident where I worked in a luxury building and the building was on fire. So obviously I'm going to panic because the building's on fire, but I knew I was going to be safe. But I was really like losing it. And, a lot of times when I was going through my journey of healing, I learned that, sometimes your brain blocks things out to protect you. And I totally forgot because I had a lot of trauma in my childhood, and I totally forgot that I was in my apartment when I grew up in, and my apartment was damn near on fire.
See?
So when I started to put two and two together and like just the choices I was making, and I had to give myself a lot of grace. And one of the things that I learned in therapy is the importance of honoring your past lives, because I would not be the woman I am today if it wasn't for the past lives that I had to be to get to who I am today. And I used to just be so hard on myself and, just coming to God as a woman and just saying, God, like, come on now, like we gotta make something happen, because I just did not understand why my life has been so hard. I think that just by going to therapy and just by like having real conversations with myself and, just asking myself, like, why not you? Like, what makes you so good that you can be a person that go through things? Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that by like taking accountability for the role that I played in, the things that I did have control over, I couldn't blame nobody but myself. And I also feel like, by me just looking at things with the glass half full, and not to get so religious, but I speak very proudly about my love for God, but it just made me realize how much God has always been with me because I was always kept by him. And I think that once I had that realization of that, that's when things started to change for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's absolutely turning points. That's redemption. That's a testimony for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, me and God came a long way. So
Okay.
I'm just happy that me and him is on the same page. I made a promise to him, and I'll share it with you and your audience. I made a promise to him because I was at the time I was just at my lowest. Like I had a really bad deal that went sour and nothing was just clicking for me. Like I was just like, come on, God, you might as well just take me out because what's the point of me being on earth? That's when I started realizing everything. And I just told him, like, I am willing to give up some things if you could just make things happen for me. Like I would keep my word, but you gotta like meet me halfway. Like you gotta show me something because, even though I had the faith the size of a mustard seed, I just need you to show me so I can just like believe. And when I tell you I made that deal with him and everything I have always wanted came true, it was like, wow, yeah, everything I wanted, including the love I had for myself.
See that part. It's, the love that you have for yourself.
Yeah.
It's something that can't be taken, right?
Yeah.
And I think that your story is so beautiful because even if you associate with a god or a religion or not, it's this concept that you took everything off the table. You were willing to take everything off the table to get back to you,
Yeah.
to pour back into you and, taking care of yourself and asking for help and using the tools and really re-identifying, like, what does this mean? Like, if things aren't working, what do I have to shift and fix? And
Right.
that's so much of, my world on the other side, of like recovery world and, the self-development world is always what are we willing to look at?
Yeah,
And
facts.
there's always something, in our inner child or in our childhood, it's like energy doesn't just go away. It
Right.
needs to be healed and expressed. And you did that. I mean, you really
you.
did.
Yeah, I always say for the first time in a long time, I finally feel at home with myself. Like, I think that when it comes to self-love, you have to really know yourself. Like, I feel like for so long, and I hope I'm like articulating or explaining this right, but I feel like for so long, I was running away from myself. Like, I feel like I always been who I've been. Like, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always knew that I'm a girl's girl. I love talking to women. I love kikiing. Like, I love creating. Everything that I'm doing now, I always knew I was going to do. Like, I feel like I have been shown a vision of my life at a very young age. And for some reason, I just kept running away from it. And I think that once I finally surrendered and finally was like, okay, Ebony, like, you got this. I have never felt so at peace in like forever. Like, this is the first time where I don't even feel like I have to hold my breath.
Ain't that crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that, the fear of actually our own power is what holds us back?
Yeah.
And we
We
think
get in our own way.
all the time.
Yeah.
I'm always in my own way.
Yeah.
It's never anyone else. It's always me. And I love that, you said get to know yourself is really the power because so much stuff that we do is to get you to run away from yourself and like
Yeah.
self-soothe with everything outside of yourself and, destroy and all these things. And it's like really, it's always learning to come back to ourselves because we have everything that we need.
Yeah.
We really do.
Everything that you need is always within reach or within you.
I love it. So how
Yeah.
did all of this translate into your work, because your work is so important. And
Oh, thank
I
you.
love what you do. I love the way, you know, you tell your stories with women that are sharing. I mean, like risky, risky
Yeah.
stuff, you know, like risky stuff, and you make it such a safe place. And so how did that transform for you? How did that come to be?
So, you know, when I was going to therapy and I was learning all these different tools and stuff, and I've always been a girl that people can come to and like tell me any and everything. Like sometimes I'd be like, whoa, this is a lot. But I like the fact that, like, I feel like one of my superpowers is I make people feel seen. So when I was going through therapy and I was getting all these tools, I'm like, you know, how cool will it be if I can create a platform where I can speak to women that look like me, that sound like me, and allow them to, like, you know, get their shit off. And can I curse?
Girl.
Okay. And so, you know, because I always feel like one of the things, especially being a brownie growing up, you know, people always said that I was too aggressive, or I was too rah-rah. And it's like, no, I'm passionate. And I just felt like there wasn't enough spaces where Black women can freely be themselves.
Yeah.
So, and also I just feel like with therapy, it's just so hard to find therapists, even to this day, that look like us, that can understand where we come from and be able to provide the tools that we need on our journey. So I was just like, all right, I can just start my own platform, the Professional Homegirl. And, you know, all of my guests are anonymous and they come from different walks of life. And the reason why is because, you know, I just feel like when you do see some of the titles, you know, it's natural. People can be judgmental. But I think that when you do listen to the stories and you hear the resilience and the strength in the story of the person, it makes you want to be like, damn, like, who is this girl? Like,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? And then, like, you know, at first when I created the platform, and it's still to this day, I wanted it to be a love letter to Black women, because I love being a Black woman. I think Black women, women of color, are just the most amazing things. Like, I'm always just in awe of our strength and how we just keep it moving, you know? But then I think that as the years go by and we're approaching 5 years, you know, the Professional Homegirl is really a place for hope. It's a place for love, you know? I think that when you hear some of these stories, and some of these stories can be a lot, it's just like, how can I not go on and give it my all, you know? Because if she can give it for all and she didn't survive the most craziest, horrendous thing, who am I to give up, you know?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I you know, I love it, but I it's just what's so important, you know, is when you hear stories like your own reflected back to you, and there's no shame and there's no guilt, you can really start this process of like looking inward. Because sometimes it's too scary to look inward if nobody else is talking about stuff like you are. That's why we keep secrets.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny? I used to always think when I was going through my stuff, I used to be like, damn, am I the only one that's going through this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of my favorite Jay-Z lyrics is, Hov went through that, so you don't have to go through that. So imagine if we would have had these conversations and somebody would have put you onto game about things that you had challenges with in your life. Imagine the outcome of how things could have been if people would just have conversations.
Yep. It's the intimacy and the vulnerability. You know what? You know, I hate that I'm always crazy, but you know, like in Western societies, this individuation is always, you know, popped up. It's like, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps, do it by yourself. It's not normal. It's not the way that we heal. We have to heal communally. We have to heal.
Yeah.
Stories we have to engage and share, because otherwise we are going to isolate and keep our secrets to ourselves and get sicker and sicker, and we're not going to know why.
Yeah.
You know? And so you just breaking the mold, and I love, you know, the more people, especially women of color,
yes,
in healing spaces, you know, they don't happen in vacuums. We need all the representation, because that helps. When I was down, you know, when I was in my darkest, I really needed to hear from women, especially, that I wasn't alone.
Yeah. And you know when you hear, exactly. And you know when you hear somebody that sound like you, because, you know, we have a, exactly. And I think you make an important point. Like, I think that I always tell people, like, I feel like with the professional homegirl, like, I just want to make real life sexy. Like, it's okay to go through things. Like, life is not easy. Life is not perfect. Like, life is for every peak, there's going to be a valley, you know? Like, you just have to go through the motions, like, and just figure it out, wing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and find the tools and the resources and find your tribe. I think that when you find your tribe, oh, I would not be the woman I am today if it wasn't for my people.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same over here. Always, always. It's just, sharing what we've got, sharing the tools is just, we all can rise up. And I love too that, you pivoted into your own kind of look, into your own love, and your conceptions of that, because it's been focused on other people, and you're starting to share about yours. And so tell me how you got into a space where you're able to now talk about your own personal, depth and struggles and what you learned, because that's a very, intimate space to be. And I know with my book and all the stuff, it's not easy sharing, the innermost depths of your soul. So I want to tell you, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God. I'm so obsessed with They All the One. I think it's so like, ugh.
Hello, wait, what is it? Tell everybody.
So I write short stories on lived experiences on love. It's called theyalltheone.com. And I just love it. I've been having this idea for years, but I have a thousand ideas, but I just feel like it just wasn't the time. And I've been in one of my promises to God. I told him that, if he could make things happen, I would work on my self-love, but I would also be celibate. So yeah. So I didn't tell him I was waiting for marriage. I just told him that, like, when we both feel like this person comes into my life and we both think that this person, is a good person for me, or if everything works out, then I can move forward. But I feel like for so long, like, I'm a lover girl. Like, I love love. I think that love is the most important thing that we can have in this world, and that's one thing that you can, that we all can feel, because we know what it feels like. And I think we all are looking for our unconditional love. And I feel like in the past, like, I love being a woman. I love being on going on dates with men. Like, I just love to be in the essence of masculine energy. But I also feel like I was doing that in some cases to fill a void.
Yeah,
Yeah. And I just feel like, I was dealing with all these people and, like, dating people, and all these men were saying they love me and yada yada, but, like, it just didn't feel right. Like, I just feel like I was just messing up. And so, I feel like, and also when it comes to my self-love, like, I feel like because I made that promise to God, it really made me want to sit down and, like, just sit with myself and just loving myself. Like, why am I giving my body and my spirit to people and I don't even feel safe with them?
That part,
You know
that
what I'm saying?
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with They All the One, I have all these experiences and I just wanted to share it. Like, I feel like it's the good stories. I feel like you can learn a lot from them. And just, I think that the greatest love that we can have is the love we have with ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that's so important to share, because I wasn't taught that, I didn't know that. And I also, the self-love journey, well, it's never ending. It's forever. And it's like you graduate, to this next level of learning yourself and your love through another person. And that's deep. And that's a real engaging commitment. And so I love that you're taking the time to really choose who is that person going to be. Because that's another evolution, and you want to do that with somebody, hopefully, that is on the evolution train with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what? I also felt like, when I was dating people, I felt like people dated me for who they thought I was, or, like, how I look. Like, I feel like I am very multifaceted. Like, I feel like there are so many different sides of me. Like, a lot of people don't even know I can write like that,
I was about to. She's a writer too.
Yeah. So, I really want something that is just so deep and so profound. Like, I wanted something like I can just feel it in my spirit. And I feel like the guys that I was dating just wasn't giving me that. Like, wasn't asking me, like, real questions. Like, I ask qu people questions all the time because I really want to get to know you. Like, And I just wasn't feeling like I was just getting it. So I feel like now, since I'm getting back out there and starting dating and stuff, because I do want to,
Okay, so
marry one day.
we're in the dating stage again.
We are,
Good.
you know, I wanna, I'm a lover girl. Like, I've always been in relationships. Like, I want to meet my person, but I feel like now, since I did the work and I'm seeing things clearly, I can take my time and, like, get out there.
I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to hear all about it because I know I am. And you
Yes,
know,
yes.
it's so good. There's just so many experiences of life that we all can learn
Seriously.
and grow and share. And this is stuff that, especially women who are doing the healing inner work, you know, it can put us in a vulnerable, it can put us in a really intimate space. And we want to be very conscious about the people we're surrounding ourselves with.
Exactly,
And we're
exactly.
starting to learn boundaries. We're starting to learn self-care and safety. And we're starting to learn
Right.
voicing our opinions, especially because women have been, you know, conditioned to suppress so much. And
Right.
so sometimes that's a journey we take alone because sometimes that takes our full devotion. And now that you're ready to get back out there, I'm just so excited for you.
I know, me too, because I'm like, all right, God, it's time to meet somebody.
Yes.
But no, I'm super excited. I feel like, I mean, I've been doing a professional homegirl podcast for, like, it'll be 5 years next year. Or by the time this come out, it will be 5 years. But they all the one, oh my God, I'm so obsessed with that. Like, I think it's just so cool. Like, I just love love. And I feel like the stories are just so helpful. Like, it also just make you think. 'Cause I remember when you hit me up, you was like, wow.
Yeah.
It just make you think and just reflect on your own experiences and just be like, wow, like, I can totally relate to Ebony on this.
I'm so excited for you and your journey, and thank you for sharing so much of you with us. And so I just want to ask if you have any takeaway that you want to give to a woman of color who is just starting on her healing journey and starting to, you know, really open up and look within and share and kind of dig into these old wounds and start to see what they can, you know, work through. What would you give as a tool, like a couple tools for someone just starting out?
I feel like there's a lot. I will always say, and I feel like this is a little cliche, but definitely live in your truth. Like, you don't have anything to be ashamed of because of that. That's why I think it's so important to honor all of your past lives. I used to be so hard on myself. Like, why did you do that? Why did you let that happen? This and that. But you got to do some things. And sometimes the bad decision is your only decision. So I think that you just have to honor your past lives and just give yourself grace, because sometimes all you got is what you have right in front of you. And I think that just love yourself. Like, it is what it is. Like, what can you do at this point besides go up? No, because I feel like we just be so hard on ourselves. Like, the world is already hard enough. Like,
Yes.
yeah, like, you don't need to add extra hardness to it. Like, sometimes you gotta say, listen, I'm just giving it the best I can with what I got. Okay. And you keep it moving. And that's all that matters.
That's so good. It's so good. Self love and compassion, baby. We gonna do it.
Give yourself grace. That's all you can do.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today on Sober Daughter Podcast.
Yeah.
You are so amazing. And if anybody wants to connect with you, how can they find you? What are your socials?
You can follow me on YouTube. Subscribe to my channel at The Professional Homegirl. You can follow me on Instagram at The Professional Homegirl and at the PhD Podcast. You can listen to The Professional Homegirl Podcast wherever you get your audio from. And then you can read my love letters at www.theyalltheone.com.
Yes. Also, if you want to connect or add some questions for a future episode of The Sober Daughter, follow us on Instagram at The Sober Daughter. And if you want to connect with me directly, I'm at Fauna Asphalt on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok. So remember, keep doing the good work, keep showing up for yourself, and we're going to be with you all the way.